Yo, good day, and welcome to another episode of Father's Fire. My name is Jody Cedric, and every week we try to get together to explore the joys, the challenges, the triumphs, the sorrows, and yes, the fun of being a dad. And it's been a minute since I did a live episode. And so tonight we're going live with my good friend Alex Russell. You may know him. He is the host of the Detailed Solutions podcast, always also runs a really nice detail shop. And he's agreed to be my guest on Father's Fire to talk about being a dad. So welcome, Alex. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Jody. Thanks for having me on, man. This is gonna be something different. I'm just always used to being on your side of the microphone right now, and I'm always used to talking about detailing. So to talk about
Yeah.
something different would be is gonna be pretty fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It's hard to believe I've been doing this. I think there's like 260 plus episodes of me
Oh,
talking
wow.
about being a dad, and I just have a good time doing it, exploring and having conversations with dads like you and sharing my thoughts, my experiences, and tapping into other men's experiences because, man, as you know, there is no manual. And being a dad, I think, in fact, right after this podcast, I'm gonna have a conversation with a single dad that he and I are really close. We connected during COVID, and he's adopted, I think, three kids now, and he's just trying to figure out how to be a dad, and he's got one right at in the middle of being a teenager, and it's trying his patience.
I'm there. I'm there. Mine's 14. She'll be 15 in 2 months. And yeah, like
You're
she's not a daddy's girl that much anymore, Like now it's like, leave me alone, leave me alone.
It's kind of funny because when your daughters are young, right, and they're the little princess and
Oh,
daddy's their hero and wants to be with you and share everything with you, do your nails and your hair and have your makeup and do tea parties. And then they turn about 12,
yep.
and all of a sudden, dad is like
Nothing to do with
dumb.
you. Yep. But that's okay, because I've heard that around 22, 23, they come back
They
to
come
being
back.
daddy's girls again. So I'm just like, all right, just let her be and she'll come back. I mean, I she's still a daddy's girl, but of course, it's when she wants something.
Yeah, of course.
Take her to McDonald's, go buy her something, like when she wants money, you see, and then it's all the bat in the eyes and being cute and lovey-dovey and all that stuff.
That's fun. Yeah, there is truth about 2021, they start coming back around. My youngest daughter, Kaylani, she played volleyball at UVU, and her boyfriend now plays for Oregon State soccer. And she called me a week ago and said, "Hey, Dad, you want to go to the game with me?" And so we just had a fantastic time. She
That's
flew in
awesome.
from Salt Lake. I flew in from Boise into Portland. And we're like, "What do you want to do?" We're like, because we had like 5, 6 hours of the game. So we looked up what's there to do free in Portland. So we went to a little Saturday market and had lunch and looked at all the arts crafts. And we went to a museum and then went and watched Teo play. And it was super fun, man.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Those are the fun things,
Yeah, they are fun. Well, and you've had something fun too. So it's funny because a week or two ago, I was scrolling through your feed as I do sometimes, just seeing what you're up to. And I saw this awesome post about it being World's Week. And I don't know if a lot of people know what World's Week is. So let me give you a little sneak peek and then I'll let Alex. So this was on Alex's feed. And there you go. So
Makes sure.
that is freaking awesome picture. So those of you listening to audio, this is a daughter. And what is this, a cheer competition?
So this was their practice. It was actually their showcase before the world's cheerleading competition this past weekend. So that was taken by a photographer that does, she's local, so she goes to the gym a lot when it's big time stuff and takes pictures. So fortunate enough that that picture she posted in the on the Facebook page for her business just happened to be the picture of Haley in mid flip upside down. So that's the I don't know all the terms, so I believe that stunt is actually what they call a ball kick. So essentially what it is so the girl that's holding her, they're both standing up like that, and the girl grabs her hand, and Haley basically does a front forward flip, but in midair she's kicking her legs out like that, and then she lands in a cradle position for her bases, all the other hands that are reaching up ready to catch her as she comes down. So yeah, it's I think she enjoys it. It's a little scary at first, but then when she does it a couple of times, and you know, then she's excited for it. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. But yeah, that was leading up to Cheer Worlds, which, like I said, was just this past weekend. So it's kind of the Super Bowl for cheerleading. You know, it's the big end of the season. And they call it Worlds because it is truly a Worlds competition. There were teams there from Australia, Canada, Mexico, England, the UK, you know, South America, whatever, get invited to this event for the different they have different like categories. So different I'm trying to think of the best way to kind of explain it. So it's not just like everybody's kind of in the same division. There's different divisions for different things. So like the team that she's on is an under 18 co-ed non-tumbling team. So all they do are like the stunting type aspect. So it's constantly up in the air, flipping in the air, being thrown up in the air, that type of stuff. And then they have all the other ones, you know, over 18s and, you know, smalls and mediums and larges, depending on how many people are on the team, that type of stuff. So, yeah, it was an exciting weekend because it was her first Cheer Worlds this was her first season of being on a quote unquote Worlds team, which that just means it's a level 6 team, which is just about the highest in cheerleading. There is a level 7, but that's usually more like college athlete style cheerleading. So it is a little more difficult. It's more for people that are of college athlete age. But yeah, so this was her first year. She got to experience it. Team didn't do as great as we had hoped. They came in 7th in their division. But there was 23 teams to start with. So 7 out of 23 is not bad, you know.
Yeah.
We have about 3 weeks off and then tryouts start, and it starts all over again.
I love that because, you know, there was that picture, and so of course I get intrigued because it brought back so many memories of our family traveling with Kaylani. She competitively played volleyball, and then our boys competitively played basketball and ran track, and it brought back so many memories as a dad and me and my kids. And so I scroll back through some of yours, and there's one picture, and I think your daughter was about between 8 and 10, and she's just kind of leaning on your shoulder.
Oh yeah.
And you're like, yeah, man, I really miss those times. And so let's talk about, you know,
actually she was younger than that, because that was when I was still working at the car wash. Dude, she was probably 4 in that picture, honestly.
Oh, so yeah, she's pretty young.
Yeah,
so
that would have been, yeah, that would have been 10 years ago.
So let's talk about, you know, kind of that transition from being a dad of a very little girl to now a teen, you know, a dad of a teenager that's kind of developing her own personality and passion.
it's like having a Rottweiler puppy that now is a Rottweiler, right? That's, you know, you just kind of like throw food at it and run away. And,
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden your daughter grew fangs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've literally learned to pick my battles. My wife and her, you know, kind of constantly argue and fight. You know, and I kind of tell my wife, you know, or I ask her, you know, like, why? And she's like, well, because this, that, and the other. And I'm like, you know, at the end of the day, does it really matter? Like what she's doing? I mean, you know, she does well in cheerleading. She does well in school. Like, who cares if she hasn't cleaned her room, or who cares if, you know, she hasn't done this because you asked her to right now. And she tells you in a minute. Right. And, you know, and I tell my wife all the time, you know, you have to pick your battles. You know, why start a fight, or why cause a fight, or why get everybody upset, you know, or in a mood? And, you know, again, it's the Rottweiler, right? Just throw food at it, close the door. You know, she's pretty self-sustainable at this point for the most part, other than, you know, she doesn't drive yet because she's not old enough. So, you know, we do have to drive her to school and drive her to cheerleading and whatever else. But for the most part, she'll eat when she gets hungry, you know. don't go in there, you know, like, you know, you don't have to come to the table and eat right now because we're eating, you know. She knows where the kitchen is, she knows where to find food, you know. She's, you know, goes to the doctor, that she's healthy, so, you know, we're doing okay somewhere. So yeah, it's definitely become about, you know, picking my battles with her, you know, and, you know, as long as she's healthy and safe and whatever, I tend to leave her be. You know, every now and again, I'll, you know, go into her room and, you know, she gives me the what, you know, and I just go give her a little hug and tell her I love her, and, you know, and then walk out, you know, just to let her know, you know. But I try not to bother her too much. Just let her do her thing.
So what are your personal guidelines for allowing that kind of space, right? Because I think a lot of times we as parents, and I think it tends to be more on the dad side, but I see it like between the girls and the mom, because we tend to have these expectations. And when these expectations aren't being met, we feel disrespected, that we're not being heard, that they're not obeying us, and all this stuff. So what are your personal guidelines for giving that space, but also knowing when to step in?
You know, I think it comes from my parents. You know, my parents, as a kid growing up, I mean, I was the quote unquote good kid. You know, I never drank in high school, never did any drugs. I was in bed by 9 o'clock, you know, like I was the goody two shoes, you know, kind of. Sister, on the other hand, not so much, but that's okay. She turned out great. But yeah, I mean, my parents gave both me and my sister that freedom. And again, I mean, you know, I'm like you, right? We grew up in a different era. You know, you could hop on your bike and go take off with your friends and be gone all day. And, you know, I mean, I still think back to, you know, the nightly news coming on at 10 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your kids are? Right. You know, because, you know, like they say, we were the feral kids, you know, but, you know, it didn't bother me. It didn't hurt me. It didn't affect me, you know, it wasn't like my parents didn't care. Because they were there when, you know, hey, you know, you need to get your grades up, or hey, you've got this thing you got to do, or hey, whatever, right? My parents were definitely there for that, but they definitely gave me the space to be me and be who I am. And, you know, if I went into my room and, you know, it's different now. I mean, I don't think Haley's too much different than me, but other than just the things we did, right? I mean, she spends a lot of time in her room, but primarily it's being on social media or, you know, playing video games online with her friends, because we don't live in a neighborhood. We live in a kind of just outside of the city, where we're in a wooded area. There's only three or four houses around us. So it's, you know, she can't run over to the neighbors and play or ride a bike down the street, because it's, you know, it's not like a neighborhood. But I mean, at the same time, she's no different than me when I was growing up. And I mean, I would spend time in my room. It wasn't necessarily being on a phone, because we didn't have them back then, but it was, you know, playing Atari or, you know, playing Nintendo or playing my guitar or, you know, maybe on the phone talking with my friends. So, you know, my parents are fine with that. So I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, how I give her that freedom, and because I know that I needed it, you know, or I had it when I was growing up. So if she needs it or if she wants it, you know, again, as long as she's not getting any trouble, as long as she's not hurting anybody, and, you know, she knows where the kitchen is. So she's ready for food to come out.
Well, and I think there's an underlying principle there, you know, that your parents gave you that you're now giving to Haley. And that's that you're fostering an environment of trust.
Yeah.
You know what? You can do this. I have confidence that you're going to make good decisions. And in those rare events that maybe you don't make the best choices, dad's got your back and mom's got your back, and we're going to step in. And, you know, Judy and I really tried to raise our kids in a way where they had options, where they had choices, right? And it would always be, all right, you can do this, but recognize that that is going to limit you from doing other things or open the door for new things, right? So there's always a consequence, either good or bad, and empowering them and trusting them to move through those decisions, I think helps them become, you know, more productive and more confident. It develops a resiliency in themselves, a confidence in themselves that empowers them to move through life and discover their own gifts and talents and interests. I mean, it's just amazing to watch my kids really kind of develop into the talents that God has blessed them with. And I just sit back and I'm like, whoa, dude, I that didn't come for me.
Yeah.
One thing that came for me was, yes, you can, right? I have a thing with my kids, you know, they would often come to me with an idea or a desire or passion to do something. And they're like, yeah, but I'm like, why not you?
Yeah.
Why not you? You know, if somebody else could do it, why not you? And why not you even better? Right. Because you'll bring your own personality and talent to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I try to do the best I can, you know, and encourage her. I mean, sometimes, you know, again, you know, now as a teenager, she doesn't want to hear what dad has to say, you know, whatever, especially, you know, when it comes to the cheerleading. I mean, she's very dedicated with it, and she just has this natural ability for it, you know, that sometimes the coaches seem to be a little surprised, you know, that she can pick up on these situations that they put her in a little bit easier. You know, but every now and then I try to give her the old, you know, hey, you know, if you want to push a little bit harder, you know, I'll take you to the gym, you know, an extra day a week, you know, but you gotta, you know, you just can't go in there and, you know, play around like you need it, you know, cause it's not close for us. It's about a 35-minute drive from the house, you know, so it's, you know, 30 miles away. You know, and it's toll road. So it's, you know, roughly,
that's a commitment.
Yeah. It's $8 round trip, you know, plus 60 miles and whatever. So I'm like, I don't mind taking you there, you know, but I'm not going to just take you there for you to just kind of fart around with your friends, right? Like, you need to be serious about it. Yeah. So, and sometimes she's like, and I'm like, all right, whatever, you know, like, you know, and I look at some of these other kids that, you know, whether they live closer or they just, you know, have the ability to be there, and they're just in there grinding away and getting better and just all this stuff. And sometimes I'm like, you know, yeah, she's great at what she does. She's awesome. But like, sometimes I wish she took a little bit more of that initiative to push it a little bit more. But, you know, she's content and happy with the way she does it. She's been able to do all the things that have been asked of her. So I'm just kind of like, well, okay. You know, I mean, it's not like she's, you know, barely made a team or, you know, been asked to be an alternate where she's not actually on the mat. You know, she's actually, you know, in a lot of things and whatever. So, you know, leave her be, you know?
Yeah. It's really rewarding to watch, right?
Yeah.
Because you see your kid and they're like, I want to go after this, Dad. And I think sometimes we want to step in and push them instead of just stepping back, allowing them the freedom to kind of push themselves, because there's something empowering about allowing them to push themselves and discipline themselves, because it's easy to get motivated. It's tough to stay motivated. Oh, yeah. And that's when discipline has to kick in and that internal drive. And, you know, my daughter, Kaylani, she really has that internal drive. I mean, it's like, I don't have to push anybody, right? And then I got other kids are like, I mean, it would have been easy to push them, but it's like, you know what? All they're going to do is resent me instead of enjoy what they're doing. And I wanted them to discover what they really enjoyed and what their talent was.
Right. And that's the thing that I've been a little impressed with her lately is, you know, cause again, she's on this world's team. And you know, she really impressed us because it is a level 6 team. She never had any level 6 experience. She came from a level 4. So, I mean, to jump up two levels in a season. And on top of that, there were, I think, 70, maybe 80 girls and boys, because it was a co-ed team. So between girls and boys, there was, I think, almost 80 athletes tried out for this team, and only 32, I think, made it. So the fact that she was one of those, you know, 32, but that's kind of the thing we told her going into next year, like, okay, so now you do have, you know, the experience, you've been able to prove yourself, but this team, it is a popular team in the cheerleading world. It is known. I mean, when she goes to competition, she gets stopped by little girls for pictures, you know, because of the team name. So, you know, we told her, like, it's going to be more challenging for this next season. You know, you're not guaranteed to make the team again. You know, there could be somebody that comes along who does something better than you. So she did make the, what's the word I'm looking for? She did put it out there to some of her fellow teammates that are going to be trying out again to say, hey, let's schedule some time during this 3 week off before tryouts, and let's go into the gym and let's work on our stunting. Let's work on our stuff so that, you know, they're not just taking 3 weeks off and getting rusty, you know, the initiative, that's what I meant to say. So she's took the initiative to reach out to her friends, because we told her, listen, like, you need to do something, right? But again, we're not going to push her. She needs to kind of understand that, you know, if she wants to make this team again, you know, she's going to have to fight out. And I think this coming up year, there's, I think, almost 100 athletes that are going to be trying out for it. So, you know, for, again, for 30 something spots. So, you know, we told her, you know, that it's not guaranteed to her just because she was on it last season, or the season that just ended this the other day. And she's going to have to fight, you know, it's a constant fight, because when it comes to these teams and how big they are, and, you know, obviously there's money in it for the gyms in the sense of the better the team does, then the more people want to come to that gym. Even if they're not capable of being on that team, they want to come to that gym and be on a lower level team and work their way up. Right.
Sure. So it
does bring a lot of influx into the gym. So it does make sense for the gym to, you know, have the best people on the team. It's almost like, you know, professional football, baseball, basketball, you know, insert team, like, you know, hey, you could be the greatest person, the nicest person, whatever, but if you can't throw a catcher ball or make a basket or hit a ball or catch a ball or kick a ball in a net better than, you know, the next guy, then it's next man up, right?
Yeah.
So it is a super competitive sport within itself. So, you know, thankfully she has taken that initiative to, you know, without us really pushing her. Because again, you know, there's only so much we can do. She has to do the rest. So we just try to tell her, like, hey, you know, you're not guaranteed. You need to make sure you're doing everything you can to get that spot. And if she doesn't, well, then we can take a really nice vacation next year because we want to.
Yeah, you know that. Yeah. Because they do take up a lot of nights and weekends, man.
It does. And then travel's not cheap. And then
the
sport itself is not cheap. So, you know. Neither one of us really want that for her. I mean, we want her to make the team. You know, that's the sacrifice, the sacrifice we make for her. But, you know, yeah, we tell her all the time, you know, she gave up cheer. We could go on a lot of nice vacations.
We used to joke about that as well. Yeah. So I got a question for you. So kind of looking back, right? You know, you got a young daughter. She's about 15. What has surprised you the most about being a dad? And what have you learned about yourself?
Oh man, the thing that surprised me the most, I think, is that I'm doing it right. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, I kind of always wanted kids. We stopped at the one. I feel like we're lucky. I feel like we're smart, you know. You know, because I mean, growing up, I kind of always thought, like, you know, the typical, you know, nuclear family, right? You know, the boy and a girl, you know,
yeah,
you know, the white picket fence, all that stuff, or whatever. You know, but we stopped at one because Haley and Michelle are very type A personalities. I'm very type B, you know, as you know, I'm very easygoing and laid back. And, you know, even when Haley was little, the two of them with their personalities would butt heads, you know, and I'd just be like, you know, you two, you know, there's a couple times I sent them to the separate rooms, right? And I was like, I'm not, you know, everybody's like, dude, wouldn't you want to try for a boy? And I'm like, look, I can't deal with three type A personalities. And they're like, but what happens if it comes out like you? And I'm like, not risking it, you know. You know, plus kids are expensive these days. You know, if we had another one, I don't know that, I mean, we could probably make it work, but I don't know that we could do cheerleading or, you know, two sports or something like that. So just the fact that I'm doing it, I think, is surprising me because, you know, it definitely is scary. You know, I mean, you've obviously been there, right? You're like, I could barely take care of myself. How am I going to take care of somebody else? You know, kind of thing. And then I'm sorry, what was the other question you asked
me? And what have you learned about yourself?
What have I learned about myself? I guess I'm more like my parents than I thought, you know, just because of, you know, the way that I treat Haley and the way that I've raised her, you know, kind of mentioning back to, like I said, you know, giving her that kind of freedom that she needs now to just be her own person and do her own thing and kind of, you know, make her own decisions. She's making smart decisions, but, you know, but yeah, you know, and I've also learned about myself, that I don't really like other people's kids, you know, and that's, that's one thing. When you have a kid, then you get surrounded by other kids. And like, I realized that I love my kid. I don't necessarily like other people's kids so much. So yeah. So
that's funny. Yeah. That's actually really funny. Oh man. Well, man, I've really enjoyed this conversation. It's brought back so many memories. And, you know, kind of in wrap up, is there something that you would recommend other dads do in their, with their kids?
Just enjoy it. You know, like, so, you know, the whole blink of an eye thing, never, you know, I was like, you know, cause I'm one of those people, right? Like, today's today for me, tomorrow's tomorrow for me, you know, like, you know, Michelle all the time is Michelle's one of those people like, oh my God, I can't believe it's already, you know, insert this month here, you know, whatever part of the year it is. Right. And right. I'm like, I can, like, I've been busting my ass every day for the last 5 months, you know, like it feels like 5 months, you know? So I never really kind of, you know, the whole believed in the whole blink of an eye thing, but I do now, because, you know, it seems like yesterday, you know, she was my little monster. I used to call her my little monster, you know, and I'd pick her up from school, from daycare, pre-K, whatever. And she'd come running up and jump up into my arms, big hug, 'cause she missed me for the whole day, you know. And, you know, now she gets in the car and, you know, I'm like, hey kiddo, you know, how was your day? And, you know, it's the same answer all the time. It was terrible. It's terrible because she had to go to school. You know, it's not that it was a terrible day. It's just terrible because she had to go to school. But yeah, you know, and I mean, of course, now she's a teenager, so she's not so much into the hugs, you know, and, you know, she's not, you know, wants to come and hang out and watch a, you know, I mean, you know, when she was little, I, you know, we watched a lot of cartoons together, you know, probably some cartoons that I shouldn't have let her watch, like American Dad and Family Guy and Futurama. She was big on Futurama. She loved Futurama, but, you know, I always, you know, anytime Bender said to bite his shiny metal ass, you know, I told her, I said, listen, you know, you can't say those things. And, you know, why, Daddy, why? And I said, well, you know, because he's on TV and he gets paid money. If you get on TV and you get paid money, you can say all the bad words you want to. But other than that, you can't say any bad words. So yeah, I mean, it's little things like that, that, you know, I look back and I cherish. And, you know, while we're making new memories now, and I'm sure I'll look back in 10 years and, you know, when she's, you know, off to college and, I don't know, moved away or married or whatever, I'll look back and go like, man, you know, I miss those rides to cheer. You know, I missed sitting in a gym for 4 hours while you did competition or while you did practice, you know, and, you know, I missed, you know, watching you on a mat. I missed, you know, taking you to school, you know, like, so I'm sure it'll all be the same thing, but yeah, yeah. I mean, the, you know, when people say treasure it, because it happens in a blink of an eye, like, it really does. It really does. You know, one day they'll be 15, you know, and you'll be looking back at a 4-year-old picture going like, oh, where'd that little kid go? You know, you know? So yeah, that's my advice. Just cherish it every day. Yeah.
That's good, man. Well, thank you so much for your time, man.
I appreciate this. This has been a lot of fun. It's like I said, talking about something other than detailing, it's good stuff. And I love bragging about my kid and talking about my kid. So, you know, this is good.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to step away from the day to day, right? I mean, you and I, we can talk about detailing. I can talk about software and business. And I, you know, it's easy to get into that mode, but sometimes you got to step back and go, all right, what's really important? Why am I doing this? And, absolutely. And, yeah, you know, I've loved being a dad. It's been an amazing journey. I've loved adopting as well. You know, we had 4 and then we adopted 2, and the adoption, Right. That was a completely different experience for me as a dad, right? It brought out the good in me. It revealed the ugly in me, but it made me a better dad overall. And it's been amazing. And I appreciate, you know, you sharing your feelings and sharing your daughter's story and your insight. And just guys, if
you're on me on.
Yeah, man, you guys, if you haven't connected with Alex, check him out. It's Alex Russell on Facebook. He also has a great podcast, the Detail Solutions Podcast. He has great guests, great insight, great experience. And so I encourage you to go tap in. And thank you so much, Alex. It's been great.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate this. Yeah. So it's always good catching up with you.
Yeah, it is. Well, you guys, tapping in, please like, share, subscribe. If you get a chance, if you haven't, go out and check out my book, But How Far Must I Go? A Journey in Faith. I'm surprised every time I do a book, it does better than I think it would. And I've had to order a second round and I'll probably have to order a third round. But I've been getting really nice personal notes. So I'm glad it's touching people's hearts. So yeah, that's good.
Awesome, yeah.
So anyway, you guys have a great day, and we will check you same time, same channel, just next week right here on Father's Fire. See ya.
Bye.